The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Are you taking us in? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my voice? What's going on?
I don't know.
We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. That is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Live from Circa, downtown Las Vegas. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
What are you passionately pounding on your keyboard today? What are you doing over there?
Just Googling which came first, the Michelin Man or Ghostbusters, and it was the Michelin Man.
I was correct.
You were correct.
Michelin Man predated Ghostbusters.
Someone ripped off someone, though.
Think it was a copy?
A little bit.
Do you know that Ray Parker Jr. was sued for the song Ghostbusters by Huey Lewis in the news? For copying I Want a New Drug?
You know what? I think I did know that.
So you're just saying the whole thing is one big copy now.
Might be.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we've done our work. We're done. Coming up on the show, JVT, our NBA senior analyst, talk NBA with us and National Football League divisional round, of course. And then how about a double shot of college hoops with Dallin Cuff from ESPN? He also has some soccer thoughts as well, perhaps. And, of course, from three-man weave, James Patrick Root. Jim Root will join us as well from 3MW. Anybody call him 3MW? That's what it is on Twitter. 3MW underscore CBB. He's at Second Chance Points, Jim Root. We'll do that. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Kelly with some American Express thoughts in golf and bets as well. And we will do a couple NFL things that we've been meaning to get to today. Super Bowl MVP. We want to talk about that as a great proxy market to bet in futures right now, rather than just go to your standard garden variety restaurant quality, who's going to win the Super Bowl. Maybe there's a creative way to bet this via the Super Bowl MVP market. And when I say maybe, I say perhaps so.
I found one.
You found one?
I found one I might make early here.
It's interesting because, well, we'll get to it when we get to it, but it's stacked with a couple teams players and then not so much the others. So that's part of the calculus as well. I want to start, though, speaking of the NFL, let's begin with looking ahead to potential or hypothetical championship game lines. And I think in that process, we might learn something about this week's lines and maybe triggers a bet for some folks. Yes?
No? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Love that FanDuel put these up.
Yeah. Good on FanDuel. We used to have to call it Advocate Skirmish back in the day. We no longer can. We are the clothes are off. I think that's the correct expression.
That's right.
In golf FanDuel now. Let me start with the bottom combinations with the AFC, because I think these are more straightforward, right? Ravens and Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 1.5. Again, these are hypothetical championship game matchups that could occur. All four different combinations that could occur per conference. Ravens at Chiefs right now is lined at Chiefs minus 1.5 with a total at 46.5. Okay. By the way, Chiefs also a 1.5-point favorite against the Bills at home if they are to host the Buffalo Bills. My only reaction to that is I think that will change largely, perhaps not so much on the Ravens-Bills, though, of course, that's a possibility, but I think really the Chiefs side of things against the Texans. I think that could change. You know, that could get up to, you know, flirt with 3, maybe not all the way to 3. But I think it could go the Chiefs' way if the Chiefs just destroy the Texans. But if the Chiefs look sort of like they're lollygagging out there, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't go anywhere. Maybe it even goes the other way.
I was a little surprised. I was surprised by both of these Chiefs matchups numbers. I thought these would be closer to a pick 'em.
Well, I think the Ravens, that's what I'm getting at with the Ravens. Much like I guess the Ravens would be favored over the Bills. I think if the Chiefs don't look particularly great against the Texans, I think the Ravens also will end up being a slight tick of a favorite at the Chiefs, possibly as well, if the Ravens meet the Chiefs.
Oh, totally. I mean, I don't really know how you can hang 1.5 on both of those teams when we're seeing what Ravens won or a pick 'em at Buffalo right now.
This is what I'm going to get at with the NFC momentarily. I think it's more dramatic in the NFC, but for right now, okay, those are placeholders, if you will, on the Chiefs. Both 1.5-point favorites against the Ravens and Bills. But to your point, right, it doesn't meet the, what was it you learned in geometry class? The transitive property from this week's line to next week's line. Yeah, Kelly's like, sure. Kelly's like, I believe that was commutative property. Texans at Ravens is the placeholder is Ravens minus 9.5. If the Texans upset the Chiefs and end up having to go to Baltimore, remember, reseeding on everything here, Baltimore will get the championship game. Minus 9.5 would be in favor of the Ravens, according to the placeholder at FanDuel. Bills would be 8.5-point favorites. 8.5-point favorites at home against the Texans. That's more in line with
that. That feels more accurate.
Okay. Where I think the really interesting things we can glean, if I may use the word glean, is in the NFC. So Eagles at Lions. Let's start with that one. Eagles at Lions. Let's say both of the favorites get home this week. The Eagles and Lions both advance. Lions against the Commodores, Eagles against the Rams. Lions are 2.5-point favorites with a total at 51.5. I'm surprised that's not 3. I'm surprised that's lower than 3. Here's where I start to be like, okay, this is corroborating how I feel about this week's games, which is if the Rams upset the Eagles and play the Lions, they only have the line as Lions minus 6.5. Mm. To which I say, this is my point about this week's line. I'm on the Rams taking the 6 against the Eagles. And this, to me, having the Lions as only 6.5-point favorites against the Rams, corroborates my feeling. Because how could this only be 6.5 if it's 6 at Philly? Now, people are going to say, well, Guzgill, they're traveling to cold weather. It's a short week. They played on Monday night. They've got all that stuff going home with the wildfires. I get it. I get all that. But it's still, even with all that, to me, I think that's more. Listen, I'm not dismissing that stuff. That stuff matters. But I still feel like that line makes me feel better about my Rams play this week. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I do think I'm sitting over here because I think it is it's interesting indoor outdoor too with the Rams, right? Like I think that's a
cold weather, warm weather,
tougher environment for the Rams to play in this week as opposed to if they had to go to Detroit indoors next week.
Right. Do they still have a Hall of Fame quarterback and a great pass rush and a great wide receiver or two?
The two
two would be Cooper Kupp.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly flipped, right?
Oh, he's amazing. Commanders at Eagles. This is interesting to me as well. If the Commanders, if I may say so myself, if they upset the Lions and the Eagles beat the Rams, the Eagles are installed. Remember, Kelly, you cannot make a bet without an installation of a line. Remember how they used to say it on shows? They've been installed as a 6.5-point favorite with a total of 47.5. Now, okay, the Eagles are 6.5 at home. You really think the Eagles would be 6.5 at home against the Commodores at that point? Let's go back to week 11. Week 11 when the Eagles hosted the taco holders in Philly, when they hosted the Commanders in week 11, the Eagles were 5 games into a 10-game winning streak, and Washington had just lost by a point to the Steelers. Remember, it was the one game where they didn't have a cardiac winning finish when Zach Ertz was a nose shy of the sticks heading into field goal range, not quite in field goal range, but heading into field goal range against the Steelers the week before with less than 90 seconds left when Washington was at home against Pittsburgh. So that was the recency. That was the scenario when the Commanders traveled to play Philly in week 11. You know what that line was?
What was it?
Philly minus 4.5. So you're telling me what you've seen of football between then and now means the Eagles should be even more of a favorite? See, I don't see that at all. I think if Washington
Eagles have gotten better.
Wait a minute, but if Washington beats the Lions outright,
there is
no chance this is 6.5. None.
I mean, that's the part that I'm on board with you on. Have we gotten to the point? I think the Eagles are playing better football. If you just set this game today, without what being games played this weekend,
I disagree with you. I think if you even set it today, it should not be 6.5. But I'd
probably go 6, okay, I get it. But yeah, you're right. After the Commanders defeat the Lions in Detroit.
But even before that, what are people not getting about Jaden Daniels in Washington? No one has been able to stop this man. He is a rookie that has not been stopped. Maybe that game is coming this week. It's possible. But I just, admittedly, I am a little lower than the market on the Eagles. Mm-hmm. So throw that into the mix. But yes, we both agree that if the Commanders were to beat the Lions, forget about 6.5 here. And then Commanders at Rams is the only other combination we haven't talked about. Rams placeholder 2.5-point favorites at home against the Commanders. See, I would even say that would be 3 in the end. But 2.5 is right around where it should be.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty spot on. Because then you could also do the line comparison this week, right? Rams and Eagles, we're seeing 6 on that. Okay, so if they think they're a half point half point better than the Commanders, right? I think that makes sense if you're under three.
But I think the biggest, like, Commanders at Eagles 6.5, if they were to post that, right, which it is posted at, right?
Yeah,
right,
you can, now, yeah, you can bet.
If you think the Commanders are beating the Lions, you should absolutely grab those points right now. The other one, though, I'll go back to that to me is the biggest sort of truth teller is Rams at Lions -6.5 to me, and this is corroborated by the Lions line against the hypothetical line against the Eagles. The Rams should not be 6-point dogs against the Eagles this week is what I get out of that.
Right.
And I think that's an interesting exercise to look at that and then sort of say to yourself, well, wait a minute, if that's that, then how's this that? If that makes sense.
It really is. Yeah. No, in the NFC, I think it was a great breakdown from you on the NFC, because my big ones right away was the AFC champ, like the big AFC championship matchups, either Ravens, Bills, or Chiefs. And right away, the problem is I don't know that I feel strong enough. If I felt super strong about Ravens or the Bills winning this game this week, I would be betting that right now against the Chiefs next week.
Yeah, I mean, but for me, I do feel strongly about the Ravens. That's why I had them as a 2.5-point favorite on guessing lines.
Right.
The Bills were the favorite at that time. It's moved towards the Ravens.
So if you had the opportunity,
and I feel the same thing right now. Yeah, you go heading into that game. Yes.
Yeah,
I
mean, wouldn't you bet that right now if this was available to you?
Well, yeah, except for there's this little thing called Patrick Mahomes that I'm not sure you're aware of. That lingers. That looms.
That's why I said I'm not betting, but if you're that confident, Ravens.
That's the only thing in this league that stops you in your tracks, or at least should. Sure, Ravens, what is it, DVOA, one of the 10 best teams of all time, 7th best team of all time since 1979? Yeah, but then there's this guy who plays for the Chiefs still. We'll come back. Jonathan Von Tobel, his divisional round thoughts, and some NBA from our senior NBA analyst. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to take your tailgate to the next level? You got to try Sewell's Barbecue. Look at that. Born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From smoky ribs and mouth-watering wings to the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite into a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SEWELLSBBQ. Wait for it, Kelly. SAUCE.
Dude, good job, man.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Flavor this good. It's just a click away. By the way, the Sewell's Barbecue sponsorship came through the old Beating the Book feed. And whoever's running the Sewell's Barbecue account tweeted me yesterday this story about Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, who, of course, is going to be a coveted head coaching candidate in the National Football League. The story I had always heard about his, I won't even call it flirtation, but when Washington was interested in hiring him last year, the job that Dan Quinn eventually got, the story that I was led to believe was the truth was that Ben Johnson was the one who balked and said, yeah, I remember there was a story. He thought Josh Harris was a little, and his, you know, Bob Myers from the Warriors. Is it Bob Myers from the Warriors? He thought they were a little too basketball-y for his taste. That was the story I heard.
Well, you got Magic involved too, right?
Well, and then Magic involved, right, of course, bearing the headline. But what the Sewell's Barbecue Sauce folks tweeted me was a story from, I want to say it was Lane Lewis. He's a Commanders insider who said that his understanding of the story was that Adam Peters, the Skins GM, who's, by the way, done a fantastic job, and crew were on their way to go interview Ben Johnson, at which point they talked to him. They're like, you know, we're going to draft Jaden Daniels number two because the Bears are going to take Caleb one. You know, how do you feel about that? He's like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to go with Sam Howell. And they were like, what do you mean we're going to draft Jaden Daniels? They was like, no, I want to do this with Sam Howell. Now, if that story is true, and Adam Peters apparently at this point, according to this report that Sewell's Barbecue sent me, said, turn the plane around. So whatever you believe there, that's a fascinating twist to that. I have never heard that story before.
If that's the case, then I know why Ben Johnson's still where he's at.
Well, that's right. And it also makes me think to myself, what's my biggest thing whenever I talk about, like, I know I said the other day, like a CEO head coach is underrated. But if you are an X's and O's head coach, to me, your biggest attribute that I'm looking for is your ability to adapt to your personnel.
Mm.
And that story, if true, sounds to me like Ben Johnson is like a one-trick pony guy. Where he's like, well, mobile quarterback? I don't want that. Anyway, it's an interesting story. Thank you to Sewell's Barbecue folks for sending that one as well. JVT joins us, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Von Tobel. He is our senior NBA analyst and so much more as well, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, John?
I'm good. I'm actually, because every time you guys talk about something, it gets me to think about things, including, are you allowed to just turn a plane around?
Or like, don't you have to like land
first? Yeah, like, or like
hit the brakes.
Like, there's like air patterns and stuff that you might screw up if you just like flip a Yui in the middle of the air, you know?
John, I wouldn't try that on your next like American Airlines flight from 26B. Like, hey. Turn this around.
It is a good point. Like the counter to that, though, is I'd be really upset if I owned a private jet and we're flying one way and I want to turn around and then I got to wait like 30 minutes or something for all the communications to be cleared for me to actually turn around. I just want to turn around. It's a big sky.
It's a big sky. That's right.
The price of fuel as well. Like, I don't think you're just pulling up the Shell and getting like, it's $4.11 a gallon. Let's just build this thing back up and go back. Listen, yeah.
If you want air traffic advice, the three of us are your go-to guys. We know our stuff. What about the divisional round? Let's start there, John. What have you bet so far? What are you thinking about betting?
I've also always wanted to just say that. Turn this thing around. All right. For the National Football League, I bet a couple of things. First and foremost, so I was a Texans supporter over the weekend. I'm going to carry that over to this weekend here against Kansas City. I think this Texans team defensively is very undervalued. When you look at them coming into the postseason, fifth in EPA per pass by opponents, they go in there. Their defensive backs are like glue on Los Angeles's wide receivers. And look, that was a weakness for LA, and I think a lot of people really knew that going into the postseason, really exposed that. And I understand that Kansas City is getting healthier at wide receiver, but I really like what this team can do from a coverage standpoint. And then up front, if you're getting good coverage behind, those guys can get after, I think, what is a worse offensive line, at least when you're talking about multiple spots, including the tackles. We knew the issues with the interior for LA, but those tackles, like, they were supposed to be pretty good for LA, and they got pretty exposed by a really veteran front that can get after the passer. And I think that you're talking about a group that can do that again here against Kansas City, keep this thing close. And I will hang my hat offensively on one thing for Houston. You go back to that Chargers game, and throughout the entire year, right, C.J. Stroud, I mentioned this a ton of times, the fifth most pressured quarterback in the National Football League by total dropbacks. However, when he was kept clean against LA, he was elite. He was awesome. So I think that if you can get more of those snaps, having him kept clean, quick throws, get it out, I think you're going to be pretty live to stay inside of this number against Kansas City. So took 8.5 with the Houston Texans. The other, Baltimore. Now, I haven't bet this yet for clarity. I want to sit back. I was talking with Johnny Avello. We had him on the show the other day, director at DraftKings. I just asked him whether or not this is going to kind of ping pong back and forth. So I'm going to see whether or not I can get a better money line price there on Baltimore. But I will be on Baltimore by the time this game kicks off on Sunday night. I like this team. They're the highest rated team in the NFL left for a reason. I think that they are going to find their way to the Super Bowl. I think they are elite on offense. I don't think there's really any question about it. I still think it's fair to question whether or not Baltimore, if they've gotten better defensively, Gil. You know, if you look at these last five games, you would see a team that statistically is among the best in the National Football League over these 5 weeks. However, you'd also see a slew of offensive opponents that are among the worst in the NFL. So I think there's some middle ground there, but I think they're so good on offense, they can really overcome that here. Tighter deficit, obviously, than the first time they played on that Sunday night, but I do think Baltimore ends up getting this thing done. So those are the two that I'm sitting on right now. Haven't made anything yet in Washington and Detroit or LA and Philadelphia. I've got thoughts on those two games, but those are the bets that I've made so far. And I should also note, did bet Lamar Jackson to win Super Bowl MVP at plus 550.
You did. Did you have a moment of Derrick Henry pause when you bet that?
You know, I did. So my logic is somebody who really likes Baltimore is I will be sitting on, they should be favored over anybody that they play coming out of the NFC. You're probably going to be on even money or so for Lamar to win Super Bowl MVP should they get there. So I'll have a pretty good ticket in hand, but you're right. Mitch and I were talking about this on Monday. I think there's probably, and this was like before, this was when we're talking about some of these teams, of these teams, the Baltimore Ravens, the Detroit Lions are the two for sure that you could look at and go, there's kind of multiple outs there for MVP, but I'll take my chances with Lamar Jackson because in the midst of a year, which I think he is going to win MVP, this seems like a pretty strong run for a guy. You have the narrative of finally getting the monkey off your back, right? Winning the playoff game, maybe making it to the Super Bowl. Should I be right? And they make it there. So I think there is some pause there. And I do think they are one of the two teams that there is multiple outs, but at the very least, I think there's only one out, right? It's just Derrick Henry. I don't think there's anybody else that would take that.
Yeah. Which is when we're going to talk about Super Bowl MVP later, but that was going to be sort of my suggestion. Maybe you just bet both of them. And then if you have that Baltimore conviction, by the way, if you guys had to estimate, there's no way to know, but I'm just talking about all media collectively. If Baltimore makes the Super Bowl, how many times the Lamar Jackson versus the NFC stat is going to be cited by people. He's like 23-1 lifetime or something against the NFC.
I mean, that, and then also the failures in the playoffs. So I actually think the Lamar bet's pretty good because of that. The narrative of Lamar getting to the Super Bowl is just going to be so overwhelming. Like, Henry would have to have massive games.
Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to say, as you guys know, like the bar is so high for if you're not a quarterback in the Super Bowl, right, to win MVP. You have to do so many different things to win that thing. Whereas if you're the starting quarterback of the winning team, as long as you're playing generally well, you should probably get the award, as we have seen multiple times. I'm a Colts fan, and I still clearly remember Dominic Rhodes dominating the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl and Peyton Manning winning a Super Bowl MVP despite throwing an interception and only one touchdown to a wide open Reggie Wayne. So yeah, I would very much, I agree with all of those points there.
Who was the back? Was it Damian Williams? Who was the back that gave it to Mahomes instead of the running back for the Chiefs?
Yep.
And then there was Aaron Donald, who probably should have won it, but they gave it to Cooper Kupp. Yeah.
How about the DB who picked off Russell Wilson to literally win the Super Bowl? Right? Yeah. Like there's so many different things you could point to. Be like, what are we doing
here? Yeah. Okay. By the way, last thing, because I asked this of Drew yesterday. So real quick before they get to the NBA. So Houston is your answer to the question, which of the big dogs is the most likely to pull off an outright upset? You would say Houston?
Yeah, I think I'd be fairly comfortable in that answer, just given what you can get from them defensively. I do think that I'm sure that if you've asked this people, I'm pretty sure Washington probably came up quite a bit, just given how bad this defense has been for the Detroit Lions, especially the last like few weeks. I don't think they fixed everything. And I think there's more evidence to that case because Sam Darnold was the exact same guy in the wild card round that he was in that Sunday night game. So I still think you have some trepidation as to what Detroit is going to be defensively, because if, for those who don't remember, the 4 weeks leading up to that Sunday night game, they were like the worst defense in the NFL. Like EPA, yards per play, you looked at everything. They were finally starting to see the defensive issues really catch up with them. So I do wonder if that defense is still lurking. We just got lucky and saw them face off to Sam Darnold, who completely and utterly regressed. And I'd also throw out really quick, because, again, I don't have the best read on this team. I felt kind of lucky that I got by a late 3.5 with Philly against Green Bay. You never really had to sweat it, but they didn't look overtly impressive. And I did lay it with Minnesota and obviously got that wrong against LA. But I will say this. I would not pick LA because, again, every number still points to that team being a subpar defensive group. And I wonder if you just took advantage of a bad offense. And now all of a sudden you're going to get to go to Philly where the offensive line's much better. The running game is much better. The defense is better. And then all of a sudden you're going to look and you're going to go like, oh, that looks like a wild card team that kind of barely got by through a bad division. And I have this sneaking suspicion, like I'm squarely on, I would rather lay it with Philly than take it with the Rams. And I'll probably end up on that side too. So to kind of roundabout answer that question, yes, it would be the Texans for me, the one that has the largest shot to get in.
We're 2 for 2 on the Texans being the answer to that question. Real quick before you go, 10 seconds, NBA play tonight?
I didn't have it, but I did lay Utah State minus 4.5 on the road against UNLV tonight. So Rebels are fading.
Fading his Rebels, his running Rebels. All right, John, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
JVT at me, JVT, our senior NBA analyst here on the network. Let's talk some college hoops with Dallin Cuff from ESPN next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on Visa.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every ticket is there. We appreciate it. What are we, 2 days away from SiriusXM Channel 158?
Let's go.
I'm pumped. Very
Let's
pumped.
Go. You can't do that to me during the break, man. That's not fair.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a Visa plus thing we can't talk
Get
about.
Get back dying laughing.
Jason Weingart still coming up this hour. Jim Root from Three Man Weave talk a little more college basketball. Get his thoughts on Iowa State, Kansas tonight. Also want to get his thoughts on this is we just brought it up earlier on the show about something else where it's like, you know, Dallin was talking about how Man City's the most shocking story in the last 5 years, he believes, in all of sports, and how we as American sports fans were so locked into the NFL, we miss things. Did you see that Cooper Flagg got to like plus money? And by the way, not negligible plus money for the Wooden Award a few weeks back.
Are you serious?
I completely missed that. And now he's like minus 600.
Yeah.
So we got to talk about what that.
How much did he drop last night? Another big one last night, right?
The other day he dropped 42.
Caught that one.
Which is a ACC record for freshmen. 42. You know what the Duke record for points is in a game, by the way? Most points ever scored in a game by a Duke player? Not freshman, just period. No. 58.
By whom?
guess. I'll give you, if I gave you five guesses, well, you probably don't. You were
J.J. Redick.
You were too young. J.J. Redick. Danny Ferry with 58 ones.
Wow.
Yeah, back in the day. Let's start, though. Well, first of all, we get tweets at Beat of the Book. Let's start there. Always appreciate the feedback from folks. Kelly, people not really on board with your golf league. This is from Jeff Cam, who says, that golf league made me a dumber person, and I only watched for 10 minutes. As soon as a yellow flag was thrown, I got more stupid.
Okay. The yellow flag is the hammer kill. At any time you can throw it, it doubles the points of the hole. I really want more of like a Thor hammer into a gong. I think more gongs need to be involved in sports more. Or just anything. I maybe need a mini gong for
You're
the studio.
You're a big fan of the gong?
I like the gong,
as
yeah.
a multi-purpose instrument?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Big fan of it.
Edward Lefevre. Gil, once again, I think you're sleeping on Paula Badosa. First of all, I think you're sleeping with Paula Badosa. No, you know what bothers me, Mr. Lefevre, if that is your real name? I probably knew Paula Badosa and was betting on her before you even knew who she was. Won big on her when she won Indian Wells several years back during the pandemic. She's great. She's just not as great as the great ones, if you know what I mean. She's that notch below the Swiatek, Sabalenka, Rybakina tier. But I love Paula Badosa, if you know what I mean, Kelly. By the way, you know what tennis?
Yeah, you're right. Flag only had 13 last night.
You know what tennis?
What a
match?
Loser!
What's that?
Flag only had 13 points last night.
It wasn't a big night for him. You know what else I would say about tennis? By the way, this has nothing to do with any bets I'm on tonight. But it's just a recommendation that there might be a tennis match out there you want to watch. Raducanu Anisimova. Just, you know, you may want to watch that match. Just want to point that out. Ice Cold Gambler.
How do you spell Anisimova?
The TGL is the new senior tour since they don't need to walk the course. It's a way to prolong Tiger's career. Country Club and Golf League, he says. Not happy.
Yes. I do think there is something to that. There is a... I mean, Tiger and Rory got together and they're like, hey, you ever feel like you're just out in the sun too much and walking too much? Well, if you asked me, I would put everything indoors. Okay. Sorry. I'm that guy.
Everything.
Every sport, football, every football game should be played indoors. Everything should be indoors. Every baseball game.
You think football should be indoors?
Yes. I love it.
What is wrong with you?
Take away the conditions. I don't want to have to try to handicap wind or anything like that.
This is your worst. You have stumbled into your worst take ever on this show. No, you got to have the elements.
Okay, you know the first indoor football or baseball game I ever went to was when they built the new Marlins Park.
Oh.
I went there and I said, this is glorious. Air conditioned, watching a baseball game. This is fantastic.
Yeah, if the only element is humidity, yeah, sure. But football? Come on.
Who wants to be sitting in snow?
This is from StatLogic Sports. No love here. Texans stink. He does not agree with the Texans takes from our guest. The numbers guys, commutative property for the win. He says, Kelly, FTW is for the win. He adds, Bobby Knuckles, I will defend the TGL, Kelly. The hammer is fantastic. Should be an actual hammer. Walkout music, a shot clock, sign me up. Bobby Knuckles.
Tiger Woods walked out to Eye of the Tiger last night, and it was so awesome.
Money Caperletti. Maybe Tiger stole the ref's flag from Monday night on the face mask. Explains a lot.
Hey.
There.
Yeah, the hammer's kind of weak. It's just a yellow flag. It just looks like it came straight out of the NFL.
C. Spackler. More gong. That's all he has to say.
Yep.
And Gary in Philly says, Gil, how do you justify ranking the Ravens over the Eagles when the Eagles beat them head-to-head on the road? Because it's a collective. It's not just one game. And the Ravens are... a better football team all around. That's how I justify it. Gary in Philly. Sorry, Gary. I'm also a Skins fan, so maybe I'm down on the Eagles. I agree. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney for a numbers game. Very pumped about the return to Sirius. Was very hard to listen on the phone while in the trusty, sturdy vehicle. One day soon, I will get on Summerlin Parkway about 8:30 and come over there to pester you and number nine. You're number nine.
Got
all right. Okay, let's talk Super Bowl MVP for a second, because this is a great... We talk about this every year. Sometimes we do before the wild card round. This time we're doing it afterwards. But it is a great market by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you sort of have to make the comparison. Let's take the Buffalo Bills, for example. Hey, you think the Buffalo Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. Then you get this light bulb, or you should have a light bulb that goes, wait a minute, maybe I can get a better number on Josh Allen, because if the Bills win the Super Bowl, what are the chances that Josh Allen doesn't win MVP? Minuscule, right? Minuscule. Well, guess what? Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, same exact price.
So first thing I did, I was like, I kind of want to bet this. And I'm like, oh, no, same price.
Okay, so you move on to, so that doesn't work out for the Bills. But you do go to other teams and you figure out, okay, is this a better market to bet than the actual to win the Super Bowl? It should be pointed out, if we put up this on the board here, what you will see is three Philadelphia Eagles and three Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Oh, well, change.
It'd be
now.
Cool if Jahmyr Gibbs got traded to the Bills, Gibbs. But no, he is on the
Lions. Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs should be a third Lion. So three Eagles and three Lions are in the top 12 here, or the shortest 12, I should say, on the Super Bowl MVP board. So what does that tell you? That this may not work out for those two teams, because what it's reflecting is there's probably, there's not one clear candidate, right? With the Bills, it's obviously Josh Allen. But with the Eagles, could it be Jalen Hurts? Sure. Saquon Barkley? Absolutely. Maybe to a lesser extent, but A.J. Brown's in that mix too. For the Lions, Jared Goff, sure. Jahmyr Gibbs, sure. Amon St. Brown, maybe, but he's also in the mix as well.
Oh, I think there's like five guys on the Lions that could win it.
Where it really, that's true. Where it really gets, again, it's the Josh Allens of the world. The teams that have only one guy posted in this short, the shortest 12 here is Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs, who's the shortest of them all at plus 420. Josh Allen, Bills, who's plus 550. With the Ravens, remember, it's a two-headed monster between Lamar and Derrick Henry. Matthew Stafford, Rams, 27-1, which, by the way, I don't agree with, because I think multiple people could win on the Rams, too. And with Washington, if you really believe that Washington is going to win the Super Bowl, and by the way, what a great human being you are if you believe that, Jaden Daniels, 32-1. So, you'd have to, again, compare that to what is Washington to win the actual Super Bowl.
Right.
And if Washington is longer than 32-1, which I'm guessing they're right around that as well, because I haven't even checked, to be honest with you.
Yeah, pull us up.
Jaden Daniels, 32-1 is what you're comparing that to. So when you put all that thinking in the mix, what comes out to you as the bet? I alluded to this earlier with JVT. I'm a guy who thinks the Ravens are the best team in football. I think this is their year.
Commanders 28-1.
So Jaden Daniels 32-1. Is that enough? Is that enough extra bang for your buck to want to bet Jaden Daniels in the MVP market over just the Commanders 28-1? I would argue no.
Not for me.
Because
Because
they got a guy by the name of the incomparable Terry McLaurin playing for them too.
That might be one where if I'd go, if I was that interested in Commanders, go 75-25.
Where the value clearly is to me is the Baltimore Ravens. Right? Lamar Jackson, we're posting here at plus 650. This is per FanDuel. Plus 650. Shop around, of course, for all these. That's a great number on Lamar. Lamar's plus 650, and Derrick Henry is 18-1. I actually am a proponent of, if you are in the tank for the Ravens, maybe even put a unit on each of these two guys. Because the chances that it doesn't go to either Lamar or Derrick Henry if the Ravens win at all, slim to none. And that is a better price than the Baltimore Ravens. What are the Ravens now?
Plus 475.
There you go. So to me, this is the market. If you're a Ravens person, I think you go to the Super Bowl market at this point in the season.
It's kind of funny because I think it's a great point. I actually think Derrick Henry stands very little chance. I know it's just if the Ravens get there, it's all going to be about Lamar, the narrative, the conversation. I mean, Henry he'd have to have a massive game in Buffalo this week.
But remember, they're already thinking, okay, well, Lamar might win the actual MVP for the regular season. What if Derrick Henry gets 180 yards rushing?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just saying, there's a scenario.
I'm a believer. Why am I saying the things I'm saying? I believe there are things that get carried over into the Super Bowl. This award is only supposed to be for the Super Bowl, but there are lingering narratives going into that game that impact the way that the winner of this award, and I mean, it's still usually a quarterback.
But look, your point is well taken that these tend to go to quarterbacks. I just want to say the record for most rushing yards in a Super Bowl is still held by, you know who?
No, I don't.
Timmy Smith of the world champion Washington Redskins back in the January of 88, the Doug Williams-led Skins that crushed the Broncos. 204 yards for Timmy Smith.
I got one fun one for you.
Yeah.
If you like the Lions out there. Jameson Williams, 120 to 1. They've been using him in different packages now recently. If he's a guy that's able to get a rushing score or something like that crazy on an end around, comes up big.
Also, does the return of Montgomery hurt Gibbs?
Yes.
Absolutely, I think as well. So, anyway, just a different way to think about how you might bet things moving forward. That's for sure. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. He wants to talk about this golf league and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Kelly Bidlin, if you're spelling it all. Thanks for joining us. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from C. Spackler, an expert. Doug Williams never received the props or cash he deserved. Timmy Smith is a two-year-old's name. I was in my formative Elway years and did not appreciate the Washington Super Bowl memory. Great show. Thank you very much. Motor City Mike, I got that 40-1 on Bickerstaff at MGM. Bet MGM. It's still 30-1 on their app as I type this.
Okay, I like it.
Johnny Millionaire, since you asked, Jason, my first baseball future of the year was Reds 6-1 to win the NL Central. Tito at the helm now. Talk about Tito Francona. And now neither the Cubs or Brewers scare me. Can't wait for pitchers and catchers. And then one more from 3Jack where he said, did Jason go visit the offshore book so he could also replenish the cloud of smoke? Sounds like a good podcast to me. Now holding Puka 150-1 and Kyron 100-1 Super Bowl MVP tickets. Go Rams. Okay. By the way, Jason's exit was a classic. Did you catch when Jason said, usually I have to kick off the guests because we're hitting the wall of a commercial. Jason goes, gotta go.
Does he, now I'm confused, does he know our clock well enough that he knew?
Maybe he does.
Because he can see it.
There's two very strange exits on the show today. Jason saying, gotta go, and then JVT, as you were pointing out earlier, who's our senior NBA analyst.
What do you think of the NBA?
I was like, what do you got in the NBA?
He's Utah State.
Utah State over UNLV. I don't know if you know Utah State from the National Basketball Association.
I think he quickly said, I don't have anything in the NBA, but we were up against it with him as well.
We'll find out if James Root will have a strange exit. James Patrick Root, everybody, at Second Chance Points. That's at 2ND Chance Points on Twitter, also part of the three-man weave crew at 3MW_CBB. He joins us now. I asked Jim, first of all, good morning to you, sir. I asked Dallin Cuff earlier on the show of the three, you know, sort of big games last night in college basketball, what moved the needle more for my, you know, as Florida getting beat by Mizzou, Auburn without Broome beating Mississippi State by 22, and then Alabama getting beat by 10 at home against Ole Miss. I was like, which is the one that has the most impact? You're a Mizzou guy. I don't have to ask you the answer to that question, do I?
No, not at all. It was an ugly game, but man, Mizzou getting that huge road win, you can make an argument it's the best win in the country. Top five team, like a 2 or 3 seed on the road, it may be up there with Auburn beating Houston on a neutral, Kansas beating Duke on a neutral, that kind of thing. But massive, because Mizzou hadn't won a road SEC game in like over 2 years. They hadn't won a road game yet this year. So that one really vaulted them up any sort of seed line if you're projecting for the NCAA tournament. And I think just kind of the legitimacy of a team that played a super soft non-conference schedule to show that they can do that in a road environment was massive for the Tigers.
Are they a legit contender to win it all?
I won't put them that high. Maybe I'm being skeptical of my own alma mater here, but there's still a little sloppiness in the rotations. Excuse me. The half-court offense. Excuse me. There's just some elements missing that I'm not totally in love with yet. I mean, they played a freshman point guard the final 5 minutes last night. He hadn't played yet in the game, and he basically played the entire final 5 minutes. It's just kind of an up and down rocky road with them. I don't trust the offense or really the defense quite enough yet, but it looks like a tournament team, and that's kind of all I can ask for after 0-19 in the SEC last year.
Well, listen, you could always fall back on the fact that Mizzou is the Harvard of Boone County, no matter what happens in basketball. The Harvard of Boone
County. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Hey, let me ask you about this before we get to your plays tonight, and you do have three plays coming up here on a big college basketball card. I alluded to this earlier. So we're all locked into the NFL. I'm also locked into tennis. And so, you know, you miss some things. I did not realize, and apparently I didn't hear it anywhere else, Cooper Flagg, when it came to the Wooden Award, Duke's Cooper Flagg, freshman sensation, before he dropped 42 a couple Saturdays ago, which is an ACC freshman record. He set the new ACC freshman record, 42 points. He was a north of a $2 dog to win the Wooden Award, and Auburn's Johnny Broome was the favorite. And then simultaneously, or at least right around the same time that Cooper Flagg is dropping 42, Broome gets hurt. Broome's still out with an ankle injury. And it completely flipped. And now it's Cooper Flagg at minus 600. Did you get in on Cooper Flagg at plus money at all?
I did not. I got to hand it to the books here. This was about as quick as I've seen a move that kind of market. Typically, they are slow on this kind of stuff or futures. But I don't think Broome was off the court, like limping, being helped off the floor before Flagg was minus 180 and had moved into the odds on favorite by far. And compared to what it was before the day had started, that was a really impressive response time there. I ranked Broome the best player in the country coming into the year, and I didn't grab him 30-1, Gil, as a player of the year candidate. So I'm already kicking myself, and I guess I just doubled down with my whiffs on the Wooden Award market there by not getting Flagg after that injury.
Okay, let's get to your plays of the day. You have three, and ladies and gentlemen, if rotation numbers are what you're looking for, Jim Root's your man. What do you have?
Yeah, try to come prepared as much as I can. We're starting 747 with Pitt -2 on the road here in the ACC. Panthers coming off two losses. You can make the argument it's against the two best teams in the ACC, and they got destroyed by Duke at Cameron Indoor last week, and then a close loss at home against Louisville, who's absolutely rolling right now under their new coach. But much better backcourt here with Pitt. They've been the best ATS team in the country on the road over the last 2.5 years. Obviously, that didn't happen at Duke, but I think there's something real to that. Capel gets his guys prepared to go on the road. They're not intimidated by the road environment. And yeah, just a huge edge in the backcourt. Jalen Lowe is a really incisive driver, great out of the pick and roll. And FSU is more a size team that has not really figured out its backcourt yet. So I think Pitt gets a nice bounce back there after two straight losses.
Jim dislikes FSU and anyone who went there, Kelly.
Leonard Hamilton get sued anymore recently? Is he doing okay with that? And Jim, just let me know when to
staying employed right now.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, let me know if Florida State gets good and I'll tune in. I always like
what was your ice cold take from back in the day? I'm sorry.
Chris Singleton, man, watch out. He's going to be better than Kawhi Leonard.
I loved Chris Singleton, but the Kawhi Leonard thing lives in infamy. All right, number two, sir.
Number two, still in the ACC. This one's a total 750 on the betting board. SMU and Virginia under. This is actually the second time these two have played already this season. We're already in rematch season. That's kind of crazy. They played in December, and Virginia, who everybody knows plays at a snail's pace, they held SMU to their slowest game of the year, 63 possessions. That total closed 135.5. There were 114 points. Now they're playing again, 135 points on the total. I'll ride with the under again. I think Virginia is the type of team that controls pace, especially at home. They have not played a game over 64 possessions at home. Half their games have been below 60. Memphis was their fastest game, who's probably the most similar to SMU on their home schedule, and that was only 64 possessions. So this is kind of a previous matchup carrying over and a pace angle. I think under's a good look there at 135 compared to the first matchup that only had 114 points.
Under 135, SMU and Virginia. I'm asking this genuinely. Do we believe that Tony Bennett resigned just because he doesn't want to deal with the whole NIL transfer portal thing?
I think part of that, and maybe he would have been more willing to deal with that if Virginia had more money. And I think he got a little more this offseason, but maybe not enough. And yeah, I think he just missed cultivating guys for 4 years. His best teams, you know, back to 2015 or the Malcolm Brogdon-led teams were squads that had guys that had been in the system and learned and grew with him. And I think just not having that aspect anymore made him not enjoy the coaching aspect.
They'll always have 2019, Virginia. They will always have that team with Ty Jerome leading the way. Number three, sir.
Number three, extra board. I don't think I gave an extra board last time I was on, so I'd be remiss to ignore
that. Right.
We're going with Colgate here, 306, 549 on the rotation, -3 is the spread. They're going against Navy, who they've beaten 10 straight times. They've covered against Navy 5 straight times, 6 of the last 7. This is a big buy low on Colgate, who I think is the best team in the Patriot. They struggled in the non-con, playing up against teams. Their best big man, fifth-year senior Jeff Woodward, was out. Really kind of depressed their value, I think, in analytics. You look at Ken Palmer, Bartorvik, or any of that. Just not having him was a big hindrance. Now into league play, a league they have dominated year after year after year under Matt Langell. I'm sure NCAA tournament fans are very familiar with toothpaste, Colgate here. I think going against a Navy team that they have dominated over and over again over the past five or so years, I'll ride with the Raiders, who I think are going to be trending up with Woodward back healthy.
All right. Rotation number 747, Pitt -2 against FSU. Rotation number 750, SMU Virginia under 135. And then on the extra board, Colgate laying the points at Navy. Jim, always appreciate it, man. And congrats on the Mizzou win yesterday, man.
Cheers. Thank you. Yeah, I'm hoping when I'm out there in March for March Madness, I'll actually be cheering for Mizzou in the tournament. That's the goal.
Yeah, try not to big time us when you're here for March Madness again, okay? We remember.
I wouldn't dare.
Jim Rude, everybody. Thank you, Jim. Part of the three-man weave crew again with Maddie Cox and Kai. Yeah. McKeon, we all love all three of those guys. By the way, in case you were wondering and you're ready to try something different, sign up to start playing the ponies on First Bet. First Bet, U.S.-based and offers wagering on hundreds of races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Coming back, Kelly goes country clubbing with some golf. It's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.